This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right. Yeah. 22 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now, Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. Mike, my friend, a lot of changes going on the last few days for Colorado State. You asked John Weber, I believe, that the first question about the timing of the firing of Jay Norvell. I just kind of wanted to get into that and John's response to you. As that's been on the minds of a lot of fans, kind of like, why now?
Well, and I think he answered it in the way he wanted. He felt like this was a time to make the initial switch because he hadn't been happy with the consistency. I think you saw games where they played poorly, and then like look at just the two-week stretch between San Diego State and Fresno State. You don't look very good in one game. You look really good the next game, and then you come back the next game in front of a really big house at Canvas Stadium, and you don't look good. And so I think that was part of it. It also will give him time to go through. There's going to be a huge field of candidates for this job. It gives them time to wade through and really find the person that they think is the next leader of this program.
Yeah, it's a really obviously we know how big of a decision this is. For John Weber, you know, an interesting situation, Mike. You know, when he jumps in, basketball teams rolling, and then last year, of course, the Rams on the football side of things win eight, a lot of other successful programs. Now now it's getting to that point for John Weber. Like, this is now the big decision stuff. He's made a lot of great decisions. You know, you and I have talked about the in-game stuff and what's going on in the arenas, what's going on in the stadiums. But this is, to many, this is the biggest decision you'll make, is hiring the next head football coach for the Colorado State Rams.
Well, it is. The football program is always going to draw eyes, and the TV contract is driven really pretty much by the football team more so than even the basketball team, though that's a big part of it. And obviously the Pac-12 is going to stack up as a really good basketball league. But you want to be in the same position that your football team is talked about as one of the best teams in the Pac-12 as it starts. And you want to create some excitement, and excitement was waning around this program at the time.
And this is an exciting week too, Mike. I mean, it's border war week. We're already getting the trash talk coming in on everything. I think fans, players, people get up for this no matter what the situation is, but there is kind of a shadow over this, obviously, being, you know, you moved on from a coach in the middle of the season, a little bit of a shadow over this. Hopefully it turns out to be a great game.
I look at it the other way.
Okay.
I think it removes the shadow of what could have been. If you were playing just anybody's state coming into this game, then, yeah, maybe more people are thinking about the change now it affects the team. But we even talked to the players. I mean, they know what Wyoming means to them. They know what the Wyoming game means to the fan base. It really does help them turn their focus on what is still important, and that's the fact that you're going to play for two trophies the rest of the way through. You still, if you find a spark, can turn the season around and do some things and reach some goals. And I think heading into this rivalry game, to play for the bronze boot and what that means, immediately puts their focus in someplace else other than wondering what's going on around them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, 5-10 years from now.
It's a good point.
Yeah. You're a good point, Mike.
Jeff Schmidt wants me to tell you hello, too.
Tell him I said hi. He'll know what that means.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Mike, I find myself, you're obviously there, you're around John Webb, you're around the guys, you're around staff. I find myself wondering what that conversation was like with John Weber and Jay Norvell. I mean, is that a situation? I'm not asking, I'm sure you know a lot of what that conversation was like, but I'm not asking like for the really gory details of it, because I'm assuming maybe this was a nice conversation. I don't know, an awkward conversation, but this had to be a situation where Jay knew when he got the call, like, this is it.
I'm going to be honest with you, Brady. That's a conversation that I don't concern myself with. John's got to make a lot of important decisions and how he goes about them. Those are private moments between two people that I really like, and that's the way I like to keep them. There's certain times that you just really don't want to know what that conversation was like or how. I mean, I do know for a fact it was very hard for John because, on one hand, Jay's a great guy. Nobody's ever going to dispute that. If you were around this program, you watched the way he treated people, not just his players, not just his staff, but everybody associated around Canvas Stadium, right? He treated people with the utmost respect, and everybody loved that about Jay. But John, as much as he loved that part of Jay, he also needed to see some things on the field, and he felt he wasn't seeing them. I'm sure it was a tough conversation, and it was a tough decision to make, but it was one that he felt he had to make. But in the end, he's the one that needs to make it. So I'm not going to ask him what goes into it or how hard it was for him. That's a private conversation between two men I respect, and that should remain between them. The outside world doesn't really need to know about it.
Well, man, I can't help but try. Mike, what's it like for you personally? Because you're around, like we said, I mean, yes, there are reporters around the program, but you're there, you're in it, you're talking to the coaching staff, you're getting the information, you know, on these players, inside information, all that. Obviously, you develop a little bit different of a relationship with Jay Norvell than the rest of us do.
Yeah, I mean, I tremendously like the man. I feel my life has been better because I got to know Jay Norvell, right? I mean, there's very, you get blessed in life when you get to meet people like that, that just hit you. You just watch the way they treat people and you know they're doing it the right way. So yeah, it's hard. And this is, and I've had some people ask me that. This is the first time I've ever seen, I've been through a coach firing in the middle of the season. And I think that adds a different layer to it. The one thing I do know is the people that are around here, whether Jay brought them here or, well, Jay brought them all here, whether they came originally with Jay or not, the one thing that they've always been focused on is the good of these kids and the goals that they're trying to achieve. So even the emotions of everybody around here, whether you're on the training staff, whether you're in strength and conditioning, whether you're one of the coaches, you're going to immediately turn your goals to what's best for these kids. And how do we get them in the best place to reach the goals that they want? And that pretty much centers everybody on one thing, despite the emotions that they may be feeling.
Mike, what do you think a guy like Tyson Summers, like what, you know, his goal is going to be, I'm going to go out there and coach this team as best as I possibly can, try to beat Wyoming, try to win the next game after that, try to win the next game after that. It's got to be interesting, though. I mean, obviously, the odds are stacked against him. You hear in the press conference yesterday, watched it with John Weber saying, hey, yeah, we're opening this up, national search with a premier search firm. But on the other hand, we're saying, hey, go get him. That's just a really interesting situation for him to be in.
It could be, but if you know Tyson Summers, what he said yesterday was absolutely true. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking about this week. He's going to be in the moment. He's going to do that. And he was being completely honest with everybody when he said, if I start thinking about, like, this is an audition, then I don't have my focus in the right place. So if he goes out and plays well, then he becomes, you know, if they go out and they win a bunch of games, does he become part of the conversation? That's very high possibility. But he can't worry about that because if he does, then they're probably not going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, with what, 5 games remaining? I mean, yeah, this game's huge. It always, as you said, it always is huge. You go win that game, and who knows, turn something around against seemingly a pretty good UNLV team. At least the record would indicate that. Things that would be a fun conversation, I think, to follow along in this process.
There will be, and those conversations will be happening, but I don't think they're really starting right now. I mean, I think I read today, there are 11 jobs open right now.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of people pursuing a lot of things. There are a lot of people being pursued by a lot of places. This stuff's going to map out for a while, but all this team really wants to know is that it's going to feel really good on Saturday after they bring the Bonds Brute back home. That's all they're really focused on. Let's win this game. A lot of them know the feeling of having to watch the other team carry the boot as opposed to them bringing it home. We talked to Owen Longtail. He's like, I've never lost a boot. Don't want to start now.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot to play for, and that's a motivator right there. Where a lot
it
of
is,
times,
and like
yeah.
I said, I think that's why it keeps the focus in the right place, and that's on the task at hand. And the task at hand is just winning Saturday.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. I was listening to Nick Saban's some of his stuff. He's like, "Hey, I'm not surprised by the recent string of high-profile firings in college football because fans and alumni who donate money to programs now are more influential than ever because of name, image, and likeness." You've covered college football for a long time. There's no doubt you've seen that portion of it touch this game, and it has changed the expectations, the pressure. It's always been a pressure-filled job, but maybe now so more than ever.
I agree with him wholeheartedly on that. Like I said, I've seen coaches be fired here before. I've seen them leave on their own accord, but I've never seen it happen in the middle of the season, and you're starting to see that happen more and more. And I do think it's because of the expectations of fan bases, the pressure, and the money that can be made off one program. It really does heighten the awareness of everything going around.
Mike, what's the schedule look like this week? I know you're going to be doing a lot of different pieces on the Border War, the lead up to it. It's always such a fun, such a great tradition.
I think it's got to be one of the greatest traditions in all of college football, especially the two ROTC programs that, you know, make it's pageantry, right? You know, the ball is going to start here early in the morning on Friday, and it's going to be run up to the border, and then the Wyoming ROTC is going to run up the rest of the way. And by the way, the CSU ROTC has to run uphill and has to run further than does the Wyoming one. Just keep that in mind. But it is, and it's as much of a heated rivalry as it is. You get the two coaches there and the athletic directors, and I think there's a definite hatred, but there's also a mutual respect. The two programs really like each other and the people that run them. But it is a great story with both ROTC programs involved in that, and it's just something to behold. It really is.
I'm assuming you'll have a bunch of stuff for us at CSURams.com that we could check out leading up to the big game this weekend.
Yeah, throughout. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to post a feature that I wrote on Owen Long today, and then we'll touch on some of the aspects of what makes the Bronze Boot and the Border War game so special.
Man,
to both sides.
Mike, Owen Long, that dude. You knew he was good, but did you expect this good from that guy?
You never really know what to expect, especially when he's so young. He was so very talented and kind of an eye opener last year as a true freshman playing in a reserve role. But you could always tell the game was important to him, and he was going to put everything into everything he does. Now, could you say that you thought he was going to put on? I think it's 30 pounds of lean muscle and basically transform his body and then become the nation's leading tackler and a second team midseason All-American? No, maybe not, but you knew he was going to be good because he wants to be good.
Yeah, fun player to watch for sure. Mike, appreciate you going there with us on this, man. Tough situation, I'm sure, difficult around there at Colorado State, but moving forward, getting ready for the Border War. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week, my friend.
You bet. You take care, sir.
All right, Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I can't. Like, Mike's not going to go there in his brain, but I do wonder. Like, don't you, Mike? Like, Michael, when these stories happen, what are those conversations? Like, how does that start? Jay, we're going to need you to come in and then sit down. And do you just get right to it? Like, we're done? Or is it, I mean, because I do think that John Weber and Jay Norvell, everything I've heard, have a mutual respect for each other, from what I've heard, at least.
If I was firing you, which I wouldn't, but if I was firing you,
thank you,
having a mutual respect, I would immediately, when I sit you down, I'd say, Brady,
yeah,
I have to let you go.
What?
Like, I'd go right off
right
the bat
into
and
it.
Say it.
Right into it. Just put me out of my misery.
I don't want to dilly-dally and, you know, make it sound like the meeting is going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. When you have to drop big news, that's bad news.
So let's go through
this. Get it out of the way.
So you're calling me. I'm in my office right now. And take me through it. Beginning. Let's start the whole process over.
Brady, I'm going to need you to come to my office, which is also the production room, which is also the den of greatness.
I'm really busy right now. Can this wait?
Sorry, Brady, you can't.
Okay. Can you give me 5 minutes?
Oh, Brady, it's
like right
boss,
now,
you have to come now.
I'm about to get a huge sale that could save the company.
I'll give it to Dustin. Dustin is a better salesman.
All right. Okay, fine. Fine.
There's a reason why Dustin's keeping his job.
I'll hang up on this very super important client. Here I come. Yes, Michael, you wanted to see me. Mr.
Brady,
Kirkpatrick.
You haven't been calling clients.
But right? I have. I was just on with a company saving client.
That was me doing an impression of a client.
So don't you think your time could be better useful doing other things than faking me out?
Brady, I knew that you weren't calling clients.
So now there's a reason. You're making up a reason why I'm being fired.
Your show is above average.
Oh.
Most days.
That's pretty good.
Except during Nugget season.
I feel like you're not
below.
Getting to it. You're kind of dancing around this.
Oh, sorry.
What is it you wanted from me, Michael? I'm really busy. Client, business-saving client that apparently is you.
Well, I just got a text that Dustin actually doubled the sale.
Oh, okay.
That you were asking for.
Yeah.
Brady, frankly, I'm going to have to let you go.
What?
You have not been performing well and your shows.
It's a terrible thing. Did you hear the joke you made at the end of the show yesterday and you're moving on from me?
Look, Faith and I have discussed this.
Wait, Faith is now working for the station, one of our Hall of Famer
Faith
texters?
Faith is now HR.
Wow. Okay, so that's where you're moving my money away so we can bring in an HR person around here? Good luck.
And big hub. We also
You're just hiring the texters now? That's what we're doing?
Yes, we're hiring the texters.
You are a terrible boss, and I hope this company burns to the ground.
All right, well, we will have security walk you out. We've already...
Who is security? Did you
already have Tanner packing up your office.
You hired Go Pokes as security? Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know who Go Pokes is.
That's one of the texters. Says, Brady, you suck. You're out. Micah is in. Thanks. Your check is ready with HR. Wow. You're terrible at firing people. 38 minutes after the hour.
I don't like firing people.
A texter here says, lots of tears and hugs, I'd bet, between John and Jay. I would imagine. Texter says, I don't like this hypothetical universe we're in. I quit. 39 after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.